Man of God, hold on. Your time will come. This is a message for everyone, but just want to focus in on the men on this Father's Day. Spirit of the living God, have your way in me. Have your way, God, in this service and in your people. Send your word, God, the way you want it to be delivered. Then, God, bless, deliver, and set free by the power of your word that will not come back void. In Jesus' name, amen. Psalm 37 is called the Psalm of David, simply meaning a psalm that David wrote. Psalm 37 contrasts the wicked and the righteous. One Bible commentary, the People Study Bible, says that Psalm 37 is a teaching psalm that has no prayer or praise in it. It speaks about an issue that is not easily answered. This is the issue. Since God has promised blessings to the good, how then do we see some sinners or the ungodly who live in prosperity and some saints who experience nothing but adversity? My God. David says in Psalm 37 that the righteous should not fret or be envious of evildoers, for they shall soon be cut off. J. Vernon McGee, in his commentary entitled Walk Through the Bible, says that David was very much troubled in Psalm 37 by the prosperity of evildoers. And we got that same problem today. We ask that, we may not admit it. We ask the same thing. God, why am I going through this, or why don't I have this? And those that don't go to church, and those that don't serve you, and those that don't worship you, they look like they got it going on. That's a problem. In the Old Testament, God promised those believers earthly and material prosperity along with future blessings. You know, the promised land and all the stuff he promised them. And they're looking around saying, but when I look around, said David, I see the ungodly prospering while some of us are still struggling. This was difficult for David to watch and accept, and it's difficult for you and I. Some of us can't handle it. Matter of fact, some folk leave the church, go back in the world. What a big mistake. Because it won't happen like that again, because once you know him, it'll go back. But David finally came to the same conclusion that Asaph came to in Psalm 73, and that is, someday the wicked will be cut down like grass. As a matter of fact, in Psalm 73, I like the last part there, because Asaph got it together. He said, you know what? He was worried all about all these people. And then in Psalm 73, look at verse 16. He said, when I thought to know this, it was too painful for me. Until what? Till it came to church. Sometimes you will not get an understanding of what's going on in your life until you come in the sanctuary. Not till you come see me, but till you come see God, until you come talk with God, until you come worship with God. Asaph said, look here, I was messed up like David was. Until I went into the sanctuary of God. Then I understood therein. I don't need no church. I don't need no pastor. I can worship on my own. There's something that God will speak to you in the sanctuary. Lord have mercy. I didn't understand it. Sometimes you have to get up and go find that answer. We sitting around mad and upset because it looks like the ungodly are prospering. But all you got to do is get your vision checked. It takes spiritual vision. Be not just, you know, hearers of the word, but doers.
the obedience comes the victory.
Oh, my God. It's one thing to know it, but it's another thing to do it. Many of us, I run to many people, they know the Word of God. They don't know God. They are very intelligent on the Word of God, but they're not living for God. They write great books. They are the academicians of this time, but they don't know God. You think God's impressed with their knowledge? Man looks on the outside. But God looks at the heart. Man of God, hold on. Your time will come. What does all this have to do with us, and especially men on Father's Day? It is a reality that many of us struggle with. The whole idea, like, I'm working hard, I'm doing everything God told me to do, and I'm still going through some stuff. This is not just for the men, this is for everybody. Everybody gets to that point in life. You're doing everything you can do. As a matter of fact, you're doing overtime. I wish I had a witness. You're trying to do it overtime. You said an extra prayer. You put more money in your envelope. Lord have mercy. You lit another candle. You read another chapter last night, more than you usually read. Instead of you falling asleep 5 minutes into your prayer, you stayed up 7 minutes. Jesus! I'm doing more, but it looks like they still getting up. I'm working hard. I'm trying to do my job in an honest way, and they doing all kind of stuff right next door to me. They got the cars, and they got the clothes, and they got this, and they got that. But soon, until you come to church, until you get in the Word, you won't understand what's going on. God put them next to you, not to tease you, but He put them next to you so you could understand. Keep on looking at God. Keep on working for me. I got something better than what they got. You want that? Go get that. I got something better than all that stuff. Man of God, hold on. Don't get frustrated. We like King David, we struggle with the same stuff. Why am I going through? I know what God promised me. And the ungodly, they're prospering. God ever show you something, a vision of what He's going to do in your life? And stuff starts going so bad in your life, you'd be like, Lord, please. The vision ain't got to tarry that long. I wrote it down. You said it. If I write it down. We must remember from now and forevermore that God does not wear a watch, nor does He have a calendar book. A date book. But one thing we can understand, whatever God promised us. And just because things don't work out the way we think they should, doesn't mean the promise was broken or the promise has been taken back. Oh, I'm talking to somebody today because you're about ready to throw in the towel and give up. You're ready to leave your family. You're ready to leave your job. You're ready just to throw up your hands because it looks like the ungodly are prospering. But guess what? They don't have anything that belongs to you. And if God wants you to have what they would have, He'll take it from them and give it to you. You don't have to do what they do. And be ducking and dodging and protecting yourself and not knowing who's coming after you. And as we look closer at Psalm 37, first of all, David said, there's some things you ought to do if you're real about this thing. If you're going to hold on till God gives you what He said, Psalm 37:1 says, first of all, fret not. Don't get upset. Don't be jealous. Don't be hating on them. Your prayer ought not be at night. God, I did everything you told me, and look at them. Your prayer to be, God, I'm praying for them because they shall soon be cut off. Oh, I wish if we split the. Don't pray for what they have. Pray for their soul. That's where we messed up. Instead of praying. You ought to be praying for their soul. They get ready to be cut off. No, you want their stuff. And you don't care nothing about them being cut off. So number one, David said, fret not thyself. And Psalm 37:3 said, you ought to trust in the Lord and do good. Trust in the Lord and do good. Get your mouth off of them. Stop hating on them. Or stop trying to be their friends so you get some of what they got. Lord have mercy. You ain't ready to invite them to church. You just gonna get some of what they got. I ain't like them other church people. Break me off a piece. Woo! You tell them, look, I may not have what you have, but the God I serve, whatever I need. Don't be so material. As a matter of fact, for the believer in the New Testament, most of our stuff is heavenly. Oh, my God. Psalm 37:4, delight thyself also in the Lord. Because when we begin to look at the evildoers and begin to desire envy what they have, you're not delighting in the Lord. You're delighting in that stuff. And all you want to do is come to church and serve God for stuff. God, I don't have stuff. Can you get me stuff? How about, God, can I get a closer walk with you? God, can I understand your word more? God, can I help my neighbor more? God, can I treat my wife better? Can I treat my husband better? God, what can I do for my children? Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee desires of my heart. Look at verse 4. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee desires of thy heart. That helps us out. See, when we get distracted, we need to get refocused. I like those old machines, the old projectors they used to have in school. Not for the young people. They looking at me. They used to have film strips they would show us in class. And our teacher had to get a whole bunch of dictionaries and social study books and sit it up on there. And focus. And sometimes a certain picture would come up blurry, and she had to go back. He had to go back and read. Sometimes you got to take your eyes. That's the only way you're going to delight yourself in the Lord. And he shall give desires of thine heart. Look at Psalm 37:5. This is one we hate. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. You know, it's okay to look at something and say, you know, I like to have that. But when you start coveting that thing, when it becomes the first thing on your list, I'm just working hard to try and get me a caddy. When you become consumed with material stuff, we forget all about seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added. See, we don't want to wait. America has messed us up. We don't want to wait for anything. Instant money, instant food, instant gratification. Look at Psalm 37:7. Rest. Don't get all bent out of shape, y'all. Rest. I'm talking to myself too. Rest in the Lord. And do what? That's not when you run out of patience. That's not when you get tired of waiting on him. That's like all the time. Just be patient. They that wait patiently on him. Rest in him and wait patiently for him. Then it says, fret not thyself because of him who prospers in his way. Because of the man who bringeth wicked devices. As a matter of fact, when you find out how they got what they got, you don't even want it. As a matter of fact, you want to move. Because when they come by and shoot up the house, when they mess around, you mess around and get your house all painted, and they come and hit the wrong house. Oh, my God. Nobody knows what I'm talking about. Thank God. If you just take your halos off for 5 minutes, we're going to work on through this thing here. Look at Psalm 37. Look at verse 8. Cease from what? And forsake wrath. Some of us walk around mad and angry. Mad at God. Mad at folk that God. Mad at folk in the church that's been blessed. Mad at them.
They better give a testimony. You roll your eyes at them. Ah! Every week they got something from God. What you should do is go sit on that side of the church. Come on. Look, I'll be like, hey, how you pray? Write it down. When you can't rejoice with folk, when the Lord bless them, and you can't go visit somebody and be thankful for what they have, what's wrong with us? We be angry. We can't wait to get out of there because we got the false smile. It ain't nice. Come out the house all about. What the hell? They got that. She ain't working. He ain't working. Man. They got to be doing something. Some of that pastor. No, they got me running the numbers of something up in there. But that. Oh, you know we think like that. And we repent when we get further away from the house. Lord, I shouldn't have thought like that. But I tell you what, I'll be happy. Folks get blessed. I don't know what when they get, when bodies get healed. Their children come back home or get delivered and come and accept Jesus Christ. That's the kind of stuff we ought to be shouting about. We ought to be shouting out the word. You know, the church, and we're so mixed up. When somebody come running in here with a new 2011 or something, that's when we shout. We are so off track. Not that you ought not be happy about that, but how you going to shout hallelujah for a car and you've been in the service with the Lord? You ain't say hallelujah. You ain't say amen. All you did was just say, I can't wait to pass and shut up. They can anoint my new vehicle. And I hope he can come out here before he shake everybody's head. I want everybody to see it. So as soon as he get up that pulpit, I want everybody to see it. Pastor, can you go back to come out and anoint my car so everybody can see it? The sad part is, if you weren't blessed until you got the vehicle, something wrong with your life. If you woke up this morning, if God blessed you with a job, if you got food on your table and a roof over your head and clothes on your back, how are you going to get hallelujah for a car? Oh, my God. Oh, we got it so twisted. There's nothing wrong with having nice things. Don't let nice things have you. Folks sitting around mad because I don't have it, and I don't have it, and I ain't going to church. Cease from being angry. And forsake wrath. In other words, keep your focus. Psalm 37:23-25. The steps of a good man. Let me stop right there because sometimes people say that. I'm going to church and find me a good man. Come on. I ask you, is your all of the altar sacrifice laid? Well, so I say, I got me a good man. When I finish the day, you don't know the definition of a good man. And all good men ain't going to be all fine and, you know, tall, dark, and handsome. My God. You looking for somebody, you looking for, like, you know, a money man. But look what you got to go through. Psalm 139 says you are fearfully and wonderfully made. Don't reduce your price and put yourself out there. Don't prostitute yourself and call it marriage. Ah, Lord. Don't mess yourself up. Well, Pastor, you don't understand. I have an arrangement. Yes, the culture's changing, but the word of God ain't changed. Oh, my God, my God. You get to a point you think you can't make it without him or her. It's when you can't make it without God is when you're in trouble. I don't care who you're in love with. You better be your own person. My God. Oh, let me get back to, uh-oh.
Psalm 37, verse 23.
Number one, the steps of a good man. The steps of a godly man, number one. The steps of a godly man. A good man is a godly man.
Number two, the way of a godly man. And number three, the security of a godly man. Number one, the steps of a godly man. Number two, the way of a godly man. And number three, the security of a godly man. And my brothers, realize we're going to make some mistakes. But if you're a godly man, God's got you.
Number one, the steps of a good man.
What? The steps of a good man are ordered or established by the Lord. The Living Bible said the steps of a good man are directed by the Lord. I said, God, what's so special about that? He said, I want you to tell my people that the same God in Genesis that created the heavens and the earth is the same God that directed his steps. We forget about that. Hallelujah. If Obama wants to hear today, we go crazy. But the same God that created the universe, it's the same God that's ordering a good man's steps. Oh, what a privilege. What a privilege. When you think about that, get a picture of that. The God who created the universe and the heavens that created you and I is the same God that's ordering your steps. Wow.
See, we got to, by 5 p.m. tonight, we'll have that because we don't think like that. We don't think like that.
We don't think about the same God, the God of the Bible. The God that sent Jesus Christ is the same God that's ordering our steps. Not only of a good man, because really I do understand that when it talks about the good man and everything, it does talk about men and women and humanity. But just for today's purpose, the steps of a good man are established or directed by the Lord. That is so powerful. If
Jesus is my Lord and Savior, God's my Father, my steps, your steps are directed by God. That's why folk can't do nothing to you. He didn't say no weapons wouldn't be formed. He said no weapons would not prosper. Folk will come at you. But they can't make you misstep unless you begin to fret for evildoers and ungodly until you get all wrapped up in something you ought not be touching or ought not be involved in. But other than that, my steps of a good man, the steps of a good man are ordered and directed and established by God. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Who can change what God establishes? Wow. See, you got to know who you are in him. And he delighteth in his way. The way of a godly man, God delighteth in his way. God is pleased with this man's way because he is ordering his steps. This man is walking the way God tells him to walk. Therefore, God says, I delight in his way because he's walking the way that I told him to walk. Don't look to the right. Don't look to the left. Tell these couples, when you get married, when you come from marriage counseling, premarital counseling, guess what? People in the world, women, men, some are going to look good to you, some are going to look handsome, but you're making a commitment here. Keep your eyes on your own pride. Oh, my God, my God. Let me move on. That didn't fall well. Steps of a good man are established, are directed by the Lord. He delights in each step the good man takes. That's up. Hey, some little babies here, when they started walking, y'all brought them to church and put them on the floor. I said, they're going to fall. You would just say, what do you think God does when we walk the way he tells us to walk? It's like when he said, told Satan, go try to mess with Job. I know I got me some folk. So God can point down to you and I say, I still got some folk that walking the way I asked them to walk. And I'm still being able to direct their steps. They have surrendered to me. They turned their life over to me. And I can direct their steps. And I delight in their way. In every step they take. Because you know what? Just like a baby, every step you take in the Lord and you keep on walking with him, you get stronger. You get your balance. You get your spiritual balance in him. Yes, you do. You get your spiritual balance. See, when you first start out, you bumping your head here. We bump against this wall. We're trying to run too fast and fall down. But once you stay with him, and when you begin to hear his voice, you begin to know his voice. And say, God, I know it's you. Because if it was me, I'd be scared to death. But I know it's your voice, Lord.
And I know you are the one telling me to go forth and do this. So the steps of a good man are directed, established by God, and God delights in the way. And look at what it says. Though he fall. That means he's going to make some mistakes. But guess what? The fall isn't fatal. When you fall, when you make a mistake, while other folks are laughing at you, talking about you, guess what? You're getting up. He said, though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down. That means, though he may fall, it will not be fatal. Why? For the Lord. That's the security of a good man. The Lord upholdeth him with his hand. People say, see, people got their foot on my neck. Well, the Lord upholds you with his hand. When God extends to you his hand, he's just trying to lift you up, trying to help you. Though he fall. He shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. Every man in here, let me tell you something. Whatever you're going through, whatever you've been, wherever you've been, whatever you didn't do, guess what? God can still handle it. Some of us will always say, I can't go there, I can't go there, I can't do this, I want to be that, but I've done this and I've done that. That cannot mess up God. God can handle what you haven't done, what you could have done, what we did do. That's for everybody, men and women and children. But we need to understand all the stuff that we think was wrong, God can use that. I don't know how he does it. All I know is all things work together. That's how he does it. The very thing we're struggling with, sometimes the very thing that gets us to come running back to him. If you're in a situation before you've got to reconcile with your family, your children, come to God first. Be a godly man. And watch what God does in your life. So many people come to church and they leave to, oh no, I'm too messed up to accept Christ. Don't you know what he specializes in? Sin may be a candidate for salvation. That's the only good thing I can find out about sin in the Bible. The only good thing about sin, it may be a candidate for salvation. Because if I was perfect, Jesus would have never looked at me. So, you know, it's good to have, you know, be imperfect, y'all. It's okay. But he said, so this man would fall out. He falling might in the utterly cast, I won't be fatal, for the Lord upholded him with his hand. That's awesome. Because the people that's laughing at you can't see God's hand in your life, but somehow they know you got up. They were talking about you. They were ready to have a funeral. They were laughing on the job. They were cracking up. Oh, yeah, he thinks or she thinks she's such and such. Oh, they got him or her now. Look at, and you come back the next day just a smiling. You ain't said nothing. You just come in like nothing happened yesterday because each morning new mercies you see. I need somebody to help me in here. If you had a bad Friday, please don't carry it into Saturday. We carry stuff over. And the only thing you carry over is when you do like multiplication and stuff, you carry it over. What? You ain't supposed to carry your troubles over. Some folks like to pile stuff up so when they get to church, they got a reason to look sad. How you doing today? Pastor, you don't know. And I'll be like, Holy Ghost, do I really want to know? But you know why I ask folks how they're doing? Because no matter what they say, I know somebody that can handle it. I need to let you in on the secret. When you tell co-pastor and I, or you call us to say something going on, guess where we take it? That's why you call me next half hour. I'll be all right. I left the case. If I'm going to give him my stuff, I'm going to give him your stuff. That's what we're called to do. Walk with people. Pray them through stuff. Get them through stuff. People think you cold-blooded because they tell you something. Say, look, I know what God can do. God can handle that situation. And you be walking on it. Say, I thought they were going to sit down and cry. What am I crying for? I got somebody that can help you. What am I sit down and be all sad? You ain't going to mess up my Father's Day. You ain't going to mess up my dinner with your stuff. You saved it till the holiday to come get me? Lord have mercy. And sometimes you just got to take, you know, you got to deal with it. You got to let them know straight up what God can do. Sometimes it's a reminder. Sometimes you get hit with so much stuff. You just need somebody to remind you. I mean, in a loving, caring way. So they know you got them. But pray for yourself.
stop delivering your laundry and you don't care what they do with it. You got to pray for yourself. And when things are going fine, make your way to church. Hallelujah. But see, David is deep because you get to verse 25, David had a revelation. It's about 40 verses in this psalm, but around verse 25, he had a revelation. He says, I have been young. That's why I say, when we talk about the mother's boy, because like, they got a lot of wisdom. And that's what's deep, because you will listen to somebody that's been there and done that, and they're still with the Lord. They hadn't been there, done that, and jumped out of the church. They've been there, done that, and still been with the Lord. So David said, you know what? I have been young, but now I'm old. Yet, my God, have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed or his descendants begging bread? Not only the immediate family, but the family after the family after. David said, wait a minute. I believe David writes this song, and he got to that part. Though he fall, he shall not be. Wait a minute. What am I crying? You ever had one of those kind of moments? What am I sitting here all sad? Lord have mercy. They didn't call me for this new job, but I got my house and all my bills are paid and I got something in my refrigerator and my kids are doing well. Anybody ever been to that point? Why am I? David said, wait a minute. The Living Bible says it this way. I have been young and now I am old. And in all my years, I have never seen the Lord forsake a man who loves him. Because if a man loves him, he won't forsake the Lord. And the Lord won't forsake him. Nor have I seen the children of the godly go hungry. He's not just talking about physical food. He's talking about spiritual food. He's talking about peace that passeth all understanding and a joy that is unspeakable. Man of God, hold on. Your time will come. Men of God, we must be very careful not to allow the world and the ungodly to distract us. Whatever God promised you in his word, whatever he promised you while you were in your prayer, in your meditation, in your devotion, in your worship to him, it will come to pass. In order to be a father, according to the word of God, you have to be a man of God. In order to be a godly father, you got to be a man of God. Can't do it without being a man of God. Can't do it. A man of God that is willing to give himself to God and allow God to order his steps. You know that song says, order my steps in your word. What Proverbs 3 says, trust in the Lord with all thy heart and lean not to thy own understanding. All thy ways acknowledge him and he will direct your path. What did you say, David? I have been young, and now I'm old. And all my years, and all the stuff I've been through, and all the trials and tribulations I've been through, I have never seen the Lord forsake a man who loves him, nor have I seen the children of the ungodly go hungry. In other words, man of God, hold on. Look at the end of Psalm 30. Look at verse 39 and 40 if you hold on. Look what it says. But the salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. He is their strength in the time of trouble. And the Lord shall help them and deliver them. He shall deliver them from the wicked and save them because they trust in him. You got to put your trust in him. If we had much trust in God, if he had the lottery, the weatherman says it's going to rain, you go grab your umbrella. God says it's going to rain, you say when. The Lord saves the godly. He is their salvation and their refuge when trouble comes. Because they trust in him, he helps them and delivers them from the plots of evil men. Folk got stuff set up against you and I. But that's all right. God shall deliver us. It's when you try to fight your own battle that you get in trouble. Don't raise your hand. I know you've been there. But you just couldn't wait for God. It was just, they just getting too deep. You ever been like that? They just mess with you too much. Wait a minute now. Wait a minute. I know what the Word of God says. I heard what Pastor said, but wait a minute. Pastor ain't here. He's not feeling what I'm feeling. I'm in it. He just know of it. We rationalize, you know, so we can go through our own thing sometimes. But when we're finished making a mess out of that thing, God said, if you just held on one more day, I had something for you. So we need to learn how to be patient. Be patient with him. David was saying, all of my help come from the Lord. So when people seem like they turn you down and shut the door, or when people really don't have it, can't help you no more, all of your help. When they help you, God directed them because you didn't deserve it. Anybody ever burned somebody out? You just kept on going to them for prayer and for money, and you never even thought about them. You didn't think twice about saying a prayer for them. You didn't think twice about paying them back. Oh, it got quiet again. Let me move on. If you're a Christian, you got to take it to another level. Isaiah put it this way. Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not? That's why you can trust in him 7 days a week and 24 hours a day. He never takes a break, never takes a vacation, never winks his eye, never forgets about you, never forgets about me, never forgets his promises. But Isaiah said, neither is he weary. There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait, they that have patience, they that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles, they shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Psalm 37 contrasts the wicked and the righteous. Something like Psalm 1. A good man, you know what a good man is? Anybody in here looking for a husband? Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Man of God, hold on, your time will come. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Now what happened to the wicked? The ungodly are not so. You can say that today. When you go home, it looks like the ungodly got it going on. They had a big Father's Day spread and ain't paid for nothing. Matter of fact, they stole your grill. Ain't gonna invite you to come on, get the barbecue. You call the cops, cops say, you ain't got no serial number. They made more than one of them. I had that experience before. You had serial number? No, they made more than one. They just made the one you bought. You tell them when you go home, no thank you. When you go to your house, not so. The ungodly are not so. Not so. Not so. The wicked, the ungodly are not so, but they are like the chaff with the wind driving away. So when they pull the wheat, they will whittle the wheat, but then they were thrown up in the air, and the chaff was so light. That's the way some church folk are. They so light. Yeah. That when something come and hit the church, you take an attendance route. We can take attendance every Sunday. Where's the chaff? Soon as something comes, buddy. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. All we need to do is just hold on and hold out and keep our focus. Is it easy? No. Is it possible? Yes. Can it happen? Yes. If you make up your mind, because I know one thing, when you and I make up our mind, whatever we're going to do, we do that. And then nothing gets in our way when we make up our mind. Let's make up our mind for God, for the things of God. Let's make up our mind for walking with the Lord and living for God and praising him and worshiping him. John 14:6 says, I am the way, Jesus said.
I am the truth and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Man of God, Father on Father's Day. If you are serious about being a godly man and a godly father, you must come to the Father.
Through Jesus Christ. Oh yeah, you got to come to the Father.
For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And when you look in the book of Deuteronomy, the Israelites, the men were actually responsible making sure that this, Deuteronomy 6, Deuteronomy 8, that the children knew the ways of the Lord. They were responsible making sure they didn't leave the women out. But you got to understand, in these biblical times, the women weren't even allowed to learn anything. So the men were responsible making sure that their family knew the ways of God. He said, I want you to rehearse them in their ears. As soon as they grow, I want them to know who I am. And then when he says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. I said, God, what is all that talk about? God said, anybody can give you bread, but when you know the source. In other words, you can go to the market and get a loaf of bread, but when you go to the bakery, you can get loaf. If you know the baker, man shall not live by bread alone, but the word of God will not come back void. Every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. You have the power and the opportunity to be exactly who God called you to be. Man of God. Beginning today, you can be exactly who God called you to be. Stop talking about what happened in the past, because God can handle everything. Woman of God, stop worrying about what happened in the past. God is a forgiving God. You can be exactly who he called you to be. As a matter of fact, your new life was already furnished and paid for at Calvary. And when Jesus got up, he took your old life and bury that sin. The only reason some of us are still living in our old ways is because we had the nerve to go back to Calvary at Golgotha's Hill and say, Jesus, I don't want it right now. And we dug in the dirt of a grave to find our old life, our old man, old woman, dug that stuff up and put it back on and thought we were going to make it. God is saying to each and every one of us today, Jesus buried it. He got up with your new life in his hands. Therefore, come unto me, and I will give you everything you need. And it's going to take some time, but at least get started. At least get started. Stop turning your back on. See, coming to church is okay, but that's not the whole thing. You got to have Jesus. Anybody can come to church, but everybody don't want Jesus. But once you let Jesus in your life, you begin to turn your life around. Woman of God, man of God, children, I'm talking to you today. Give your life to Christ. It's a sad thing to be in a church and be lost. No. And some people really, they've been like, they're professional churchgoers. They've been to like all the churches in Philly. None of them are perfect. But when you're really seeking a place that God's sending you to, he'll speak to you when you get there. I wish I had a witness. But for those that play in the game, you never find a place because your spirit is not really ready. So God's not going to speak to your spirit and settle you in because that's really not your motive. God, man looks on the outside. God looks at the heart. There's nothing wrong with searching for a spiritual house. But Lord have mercy, when God tell you, there it is, then there it is. Man of God, woman of God, stop running. You messing up your life. Or you mess it up more. That's why we are in the predicaments that we are in, because we have not acknowledged God. We won't want him to order our steps. We want to do our own thing. Then we want God to come on the back end of that thing and turn it around. God said, I want to be first and foremost. I want priority in your life. Any father here today, you may not have been in your child's life, but guess what? Beginning the day, you can. I know you sitting there thinking, oh, no, his evil mama ain't going to let me do this. And the system going to tax my check. Don't worry about that, because if it's in your heart to do what you need to do, God will fix it for you. We got too many children in the system, and they didn't get here like magical. God is saying each and every one of us, hold on. Your time will come. You're going through a tough time now. That's all right. Somebody already paved the way for you. Hallelujah. He paved the way for you, and it will happen. You got to read the word, believe the word, apply the word, walk in the word, think the word, eat the word, meditate the word, pray the word, amen, sing the word, and God will bless your life. Yes, he will. Yes, he will. Hallelujah. So when stuff comes, you say, hey, God got my steps. I make a mistake, hey, it's not fatal, for the Lord upholdeth him. Somebody needs to forgive themselves right now. God has forgiven you. You haven't forgiven yourself. You walk around with a burden around your heart, a burden in your mind, because God has forgiven you. But every time you go home, every time you come around friends, they bring up all your old stuff. Simply ask them, who asked you to bring up stuff that I put out on the trash and God came by and picked it up a long time ago? What is it in your life that makes you feel so good about downing me and talking about me and putting your foot on me? You know what it is? They see God working in your life and they don't want to do the things that you did. They don't want to put the time in. They don't want to pray. They don't want to seek God. They want a quick fix. But in the Word of God, there is no quick fix. It's saying yes and to God and believing it. Let us all stand. There may be someone here today that wants to say yes to the Lord, or I rededicate my life to Christ. And it begins right here and now. All the old stuff, all that other stuff, don't worry about it. Give it to Jesus.